Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything. So we want to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, the trade deadline has come and gone. It appears, although, look, there can be some things that get in underneath the wire. But it appears that Anthony Davis remains a New Orleans Pelican. And though the Lakers made one or two trades, none of them landed them star players. Although they may have a roster spot, some people think that will belong to Carmelo Anthony. Some people like me think, I feel like the Lakers will go Wayne Ellington or somebody else who gets bought out. But I could be wrong. Chris Broussard's going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll get his take. We'll kind of run through the league, as many of the deals we can to get our immediate reaction, and we'll react to if, in fact, Anthony Davis is still a member of the Pelicans, what that means for the upcoming offseason. But last night, the whole world was reacting not to the fact that the Warriors eviscerated the Spurs, right? Like, they won basically by 40. No one's even reacting to that. Instead, they're reacting to Kevin Durant after the game at the press conference. There'd been about, 3 days where he refused to speak to the media. He decided to speak to the media after the game last night. Here's what he had to say.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches. You rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up.
He called out Ethan Strauss, who apparently is writing a book about the Warriors, but did have a piece in The Athletic saying that everybody around the Warriors thinks Kevin Durant is gone. He's obviously bothered by it. And you know what? There's a couple of things here. What we're getting on to Kevin Durant for when he says grow up, because he had burner accounts arguing with nameless, faceless 14-year-old people on social media, is fair and unfair all at the same time, right? Like, let me just ask you this. If you ask Kevin Durant, are you staying with the Golden State Warriors next season? What answer can he give that works out for him? Now, he may at this point think one thing or the other, but you're actually allowed to change your mind. Let me give you an example here, okay? And am I personalizing this? Yes. This is 7 years ago. 7 years ago in the spring, so like 6 3/4 years ago. I had been at ESPN for 9 years. 10 years total, 9 years up in Connecticut. And I had written down a number that I felt like I was worth. And my agent at the time had said, you'll never get that number. And at the time, I wanted stability and I wanted a 4 or 5 year deal. And after a little bit of wrangling, after being lowballed the first month, it started to get close. And then, wouldn't you know it, they hit the number and it was a 5 year deal. Wouldn't have to move, get to do the same gig, get dug in, dig roots. I lived in what I still consider to be my... It was a favorite house that I lived in. Favorite house, incredible neighborhood. Cost of living was good. The weather didn't bother me as much as it bothered maybe my wife at the time because we had little kids. There were a couple things that I wanted to do. I wanted to put in a pool. I wanted to put in a little court. And this contract would allow me to do so. And I remember getting the offer, and it was on a Friday night. And a bunch of the dudes in town, bunch of the dudes in town and our wives, we were all going down to one of the two casinos. And so we went to Mystic, Connecticut, and we had dinner, a great dinner down there. And I hadn't even really talked to my wife about it. I just kind of told her the number and the years. But I remember announcing to the dinner table, hey, I know you guys didn't ask, but we talked about it a little bit. Looks like I'm staying. And they were like, great. And we toasted everybody and it was awesome. We kind of all went around and made like some personal announcements about our families. There was like five couples. And I mean, at that moment, I wasn't even considering fielding other offers because they'd gotten to a point. I was like, that's a good number. And the only thing I had kind of come up with was, hey, I asked for five different things. Could you, if you get back to me, you hit all those five different things, I will sign the contract tomorrow. We'll get back to you Monday. And so we went to the casino and it was like, I'm going to say like Melissa Etheridge or somebody like that, that I had none of the guys had any desire to go see. And so what we decided to do, and this is a good thing, this is good, like guys, you know, date night type deal. The women went to the concert and the guys, we went and gambled. It's a good deal, right? So we're shooting dice, you know, we're playing cards, we're having a good time, having a couple of drinks. And I'm walking around with a buddy and he's like, man, he's talking about my girls. And I was like, wow, you really know them. He's like, yeah, I coached them in soccer. It was awesome. It's a shame that you have to work right then because it's so much fun to coach them. At the time, my son was like two and my daughters were like five. And at that very moment, I changed my mind. I had said, I love where I live. I love the people I live with. I like where I work. I liked everything about it. And then I realized that the same show, and I've been doing this time slot for years now, there it was 4 to 7 Eastern time. And though my commute wasn't arduous, you get home at 7:30, maybe 7:45. But when your kids are two and you have three kids that are five and under, you get home at 7:45, they're asleep. And then when they get to school age, you know, you literally never see them. Plus, I work weekends, weekend nights, and I travel a lot. At that very moment, I changed my mind. I'm like, man, I got to find a way to get a different time slot or different time zone, which is what I did. So I ask you in regards to Kevin Durant, like, what can he say? If he says, I'm staying, maybe he is staying, or maybe he changes his mind. If he says, hey guys, I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I have no idea means he must be leaving. And if he says he's leaving, because that's how he feels, one, he could change his mind. And two, now all of a sudden it becomes, why is he leaving? This is unfair. You can't tell the truth because one, the truth may harm your current team. And two, the truth today might not be the truth next week, might not be the truth in 5 hours. So I understand that he has come across terse and he has not made it easy on himself personally trying to defend himself. But you also have to take into account his mentality. His mentality was, hey, everyone said Kevin Durant, but, you know, he's done everything but win a championship. And he thinks of himself as the best player on earth. And you know what? I kind of agree with him. I play both ends. I can play all five positions. I can shoot. I can score. I'm basically a walking bucket and I become a really good defensive player. And oh yeah, by the way, if you want to argue my clutchness, how come I was better than LeBron when LeBron was guarding me and I was guarding him in each of the last two NBA finals? It's a strong argument. And so right now he's in this kind of, he's in this space where he's not really a warrior, but he is a champion. And if he stays, he can keep winning championships, but will he ever win over people who think he joined a 73-win team that already won one out of two titles? Right? And so he doesn't actually know. If you were that good, but you didn't feel like you got the respect that you deserved and you thought about going elsewhere, like this is what happens in business. But we're really going to ask guys again and again what they're doing in July, in February? I don't know what I'm doing next week. So yeah, I'm kind of on Team Durant sort of side. He just wants to play basketball. I understand what the media is asking, but at some point the answer becomes enough. It just becomes enough. So I listen to Kevin Durant and I'm not offended by it. People talking about what he's thinking, what he's saying, what he's doing, because he's not saying it. and they don't know what he's going to do, and we may be all intrigued by it. But the fact is, if you've ever switched jobs or you've ever had a contract set to expire, you start thinking and exploring about it. You can't lose track of the actual job that you have during the time in which you have it. So I listened to Duran. I'm actually going to defend him. Has he done immature things in the past? Yeah, he hasn't helped himself. I would also say that if he doesn't like negativity coming from the media, which he didn't like in Oklahoma City when they put Mr. Unreliable and then the team made the newspaper apologize for the headline, you might want to reconsider the idea of New York City. But in terms of general fairness from the media, I don't think it's fair that we continue to pound and hound and hawk after an answer that we want, that he doesn't know, that there isn't sort of clarity for, because we're not in July. And while it is your job to get what people are saying, at some point, okay, we understand. People have said that they think he might go to New York. The Knicks have told everybody he's coming to New York. But I look at Kevin Durant, I see a little bit of myself. What he thought last week might not be what he thought yesterday, might not be what he thinks today. And the last thing that he really, really wants, or deserves even, is to constantly be asked about a decision he doesn't have to make today.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You should check out The Odd Couple. It's 7 Eastern time, 4 o'clock Pacific time, Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio. He and I got a chance to co-host the Dan Patrick Show. Was that Tuesday of this week? Yeah, Tuesday of this week, where we argued back and forth the Lakers package, the value of the players that they have, etc. Unless something's changed, I'm watching TV, I'm on the internet, I haven't seen anything in regards to the Pelicans trading Anthony Davis, so it looks like he's going to remain. Chris, let's start with the Pelicans' perspective. Was that the right move?
Unquestionably. I mean, I think it would have been foolish of them to trade him before the deadline. The only way I could have seen a deal happening with the Lakers would have been if the Lakers had gotten a third or fourth team involved and gotten a star to New Orleans in that deal. So maybe I'm just throwing out a name. Like, if they could have got Portland involved, and Damian Lillard would have went to New Orleans or something like that. Other than that, it just didn't make sense to me why New Orleans would make this move when Boston, who, you know, may or may not be able to make a better offer, couldn't even do it until June or July. When the Knicks, who, you know, may or may not be willing to give up the first or second pick, can't do that until May or June or July. You know, so, like, other teams couldn't even put their best foot forward on the trade market. So why would I do it now when I think they can get a good package from the Lakers this summer?
Yeah, if that package still exists. What about the Lakers? They made one trade. They got Mike Muscala, and they made a crosstown trade where Beasley was gone. They traded Beasley, and they traded what's the big kid who's actually
Zubac? I'm surprised they let Zubac go, because I think he's their best offensive big. I think JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler are similar in that they're both kind of limited offensively. You know, they're decent rim protectors, but I was very surprised that they let Zubac go, because I think he's a pretty good player.
Well, this admits that they made a mistake in the offseason not re-signing Brook Lopez. They need a stretch. They need somebody who's got a reputation as a stretch big, and that's what they got.
Right.
And I think they overpay. You know, they Beasley's contract, they'll just Clippers a buyout, right? And yeah. Zubac is only 21 years old. I think the Clippers won the deal because the Lakers admitting a mistake in the offseason. They've added two shooters. They have one open roster spot. Will that be Carmelo Anthony's roster
spot?
All
the speculation is that it's going to be Melo, which. I look, at this point, what's the harm? You know what I mean? I mean, this season has really turned upside down for the Lakers. So what's the problem in bringing in Melo? Do I think it'll work? Not really. I don't think it'll be anything great. But, you know, I've always said this about Melo. since, you know, he's been out of the league, he's better than most of the players in the league. This is not that he's not still an NBA quality player. It's just that there's really no fit for him anywhere, you know, and I don't think this is a great fit. We've seen LeBron do this before. He brought Dwayne Wade back to Cleveland. Derrick Rose was in Cleveland. You know, all these things he wants to make happen, but I just don't see this being a great fit between with Melo with the Lakers. And it'll be interesting if, you know, if Melo's not getting a lot of playing time, he's obviously not going to be happy. And what's that going to, you know, what will come of that? If indeed that's the case,
dude, they could. He didn't make it to Thanksgiving in Houston,
right? Right. Well, Houston is a team that's playing for something. At this point, what are the Lakers playing for?
No, but
they
don't
make the playoffs, and that's it.
But my point is, like, look, Houston wasn't even willing to see. There's something about how he purports himself, what he does, that Houston.
What it is that he still thinks he's a star. He still thinks he's a star. If he were to exit gracefully like a Paul Pierce, even a Gary Payton, a Vince Carter, you know, guys that understood, I'm no longer a star, but I just want to be a part of the team. I'll play a role. Even Dwayne Wade's done that. Then he would be fine. But he's going out like Allen Iverson, where I still think I'm the 20-point scorer. I still think I should get at least 15 shots a night. I still think I should start. And the one thing he has going in this whole thing, Doug, is LeBron. That's his boy. And we know LeBron is running the franchise. So that's about all he has going for him. But look, I'm with you. I mean, Houston was never a good fit because he completely is the opposite of their style of play. They want to shoot threes all the time. That's not his game. They want to move, you know. So I just think I would not bring Melo to LA if I were the Lakers. But at this point, they've had so much go wrong. I'm just like, well, what's one more problem there?
Correct. Yeah, that's a month ago, I would have told you no way that ruins the chemistry on the team. Now they have no chemistry on the team, so.
Right.
At least I know someone will talk to LeBron since no one else seems to want to. I don't know if you heard this. LeBron just said that they shoot around today at the Boston Garden, get ready to take on the Celtics. He said there's nothing more he has to play for. He's not chasing anything. Why would he say that?
You know, I think that lower expectations, if that's the right phrase. But it's if he doesn't win another title, which if I had to bet, gun to my head, I don't think LeBron James wins another championship. And I might say that even if they get Anthony Davis. But talking to LeBron's guys, this has been going on for really since he's been in LA, since last summer. This is not new. I've heard this plenty of times from them that, hey, LeBron's proved everything. You know, he's got his three championships. He won Cleveland a championship. He's one of the best. He's, you know, they didn't use this phrase, but, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore of NBA players. Some people think he's the greatest of all time. You and I don't believe that, but obviously a lot of these millennials do. So that's kind of been the rallying cry for his group for a while now. And I think this is the first time we've heard him say it publicly. This actually, too, Doug, I think this, you could even relate this to when he said, remember when he said in that episode of, I think, More Than an Athlete, I'm the greatest player of all time now, you know, after he beat Golden State. This, you know, all kind of goes together. If he truly feels he's the greatest player of all time, then he certainly doesn't feel like he has anything left to prove. And I think that could be, you know, if he doesn't win another ring, he can go with the narrative of, hey, I did everything I needed to do. Don't look down at me because I couldn't get the Lakers a ring.
Chris Broussard, our guest. You can hear him on The Odd Couple every day at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, alongside everyone's crazy Uncle Rob Parker on The Odd Couple. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, since the Lakers did nothing and appear to be a bit of a dumpster fire right now, let's get to the stuff that does, in fact, matter. The East, with the exception of the Celtics, all three of the other top teams in the East added a big piece. who made the best acquisition? For people who are just catching up, Marc Gasol is now a member of the Toronto Raptors. Let's see here. The Sixers added Tobias Harris and could still add some other pieces. They added some other pieces as well. And they traded away Markelle Fultz. We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
And then,
they got Jonathan Simmons, who I like. I like him a lot.
The Bucks added Nikola Mirotic, who obviously had a great playoff series last year and gives them more shooting around Giannis. Who got better?
Well, I think they all got better. I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I mean, Mirotic is a great shooter, and you know how Milwaukee plays. I mean, they spread the floor around Giannis and they pick you apart on the perimeter, or he's going to get to the basket at will. So I think he'll be a great fit for them, just gives them another weapon for the postseason. Toronto, you know how great of a passer Marc Gasol is. That's, despite having Kawhi as a high scorer, that's a team that moves the ball pretty well, and I think his passing will fit in really well with that team. So they got better. And then Philadelphia, Tobias Harris, who I think is not only – a good help this year, but he's insurance in case they decide they don't want to re-sign Jimmy Butler. I know there's talk right now that they're going to try to have a big four with Embiid, Simmons, Butler, and Tobias. I tend to think that they may let Butler walk. And I think Tobias, though he's not as good as Butler, he's a better fit because he can handle being the third guy. He doesn't have a huge ego. He's a great guy. And he's a shooter. He's a 20-point scorer who can shoot better than Butler, so I think he helps in floor spacing. And then Jonathan Simmons is athletic. I think he can defend. He played in the San Antonio system, so he knows Brett Brown, and I think he's got some winning intangibles coming from San Antonio. So I actually think they got better. My problem with Philadelphia, and I love Simmons and Embiid, but I don't think that team right now, Doug, has the intangibles to win the East. I don't think they execute particularly well. I don't think Simmons and Embiid are mature enough yet to win the East. I think whenever they play Boston, Brett Brown's a good coach, but Brad Stevens he out-coaches them when they meet. And like that series last year could have went 4-1 Philly, but down the stretch of every game pretty much, Philly made mistakes and Boston didn't. And Boston drew up the right plays out of timeouts and executed properly, and they beat them. If Philly can avoid Boston, they could go pretty far. But if they meet Boston, they're not. There's no way I see them beating Boston, even though they probably have more talent. So, but to answer your question, I think all four of these teams, or these three teams, got better. It's hard. It's really hard for me to pick a best team in the East right now because I think Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston are all very close, pretty much neck and neck in the East.
Let me ask you about what Kevin Durant had to say. Last night they blew out the San Antonio Spurs. He hadn't spoken in the meeting in a couple days. Here's what he said afterwards.
Nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day. Ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up.
Now, first, I'll say this about whether it's LeBron's Instagram last night about Harrison Barnes being traded in game, even though Harrison Barnes apparently had been told about the trade before the game, right? Or it's KD. Like, look, if you guys sign long-term deals and you didn't try and blow up your team the way that LeBron has, like, maybe we wouldn't ask as many questions. On the other hand, he does have a point. Like, look, the decision not until July. It's only February. They're still figuring out how to play together. What's your take on Kevin Durant and what he said about how he's being covered?
Well, I get it, Doug, from a human perspective, and I think you can relate to it, too. It's tough when you're being psychoanalyzed and speculated about all the time. And some of the speculation and psychoanalysis is just wrong. But here's the problem and what Kevin is not recognizing. This is what comes with any job in the public sphere. Whether you're a politician, an actor, actress, entertainer, whatever, if you do it in the public realm, you're going to get scrutinized and critiqued beyond measure. I mean, the most powerful person in the world, President of the United States, whether it was Trump, whether it was Obama before him, you get criticized and scrutinized all day, every day. Kevin Durant happens to be one of the best players we've ever seen, on the one of the best teams we've ever seen. And like you said, add into that that you're going to be a free agent, or you can be a free agent. Add into that that all of a sudden you've been available for every podcast all season long, and then all of a sudden, as soon as the Knicks make a trade where they can get you and another star, you go dark on the media. I mean, this just comes with the territory. And so if you don't want public scrutiny, then don't be prolific in a public job. It's as simple as that. And Doug, you're criticized. I'm criticized. Skip Bayless, you know, Stephen A. Smith, they're all criticized. If you can't take it, then don't be in that profession. If you just want to play basketball, that's not how it works. You want to be a guy at the Y and open gyms and nobody cares about you? No, you want to play ball. You want to get the millions. You want to get all the fame and all the perks that go with that. That this is part of what comes with the territory.
Yeah, but what is he supposed to answer? Right, like what is he if he says, "Hey, look,
not getting anything that LeBron James isn't getting and that Kyrie Irving isn't getting or hasn't gotten, and they've been able to handle it." You know, I mean, he could have easily been like, you know, look, I don't want to talk about free agency. And again, it's not only the media either. It's his own teammate Draymond brought it up in the heat of a game. So he's putting it on the media. It's not just the media. And I think Durant has to recognize his personality type, which is fine. It's not a criticism, but his personality type cannot handle constantly seeing social media, criticism, speculation. I think you should get off social media.
I agree with you. I think he's addicted to it. Look,
right.
I think he's addicted to it.
I think LeBron recognized it when after the Dallas series, when he couldn't, he stopped being on social media during the playoffs because he couldn't stand seeing that stuff. And you get voices in your head. And I think he has to realize that that's the type of person he is, and he should get off of it.
I agree with you. We've all gone through a period. I've at least gone through a period of time. I don't know what you were like when you left your last job. Like, where you feel like, am I still relevant if I'm not on there or whatever?
Right.
You know?
No.
And you will be. It's like well, this is a necessary evil. Anyway,
that's kind of what it is. Because I think any human being can relate to not wanting to be criticized and scrutinized and psychoanalyzed. I mean, and I know it because I've read articles about me where people speculated about who was a source of mine or who said this and gave me that, and they were completely wrong. And I was like, dude, what are they doing? And, you know, I get why Durant might feel that way, but it, like you said, it's just kind of a necessary evil with the job. And, you know, you're paid handsomely to deal with it. And I know money doesn't answer all problems, but it's a heck of a consolation.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Chris Broussard, check out The Odd Couple every day, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. Chris, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, Doug. Thanks, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
There was a lot of discussion over the past couple of offseasons that, hey, maybe they should go to 1 through 16. Maybe they should do away with the Eastern and Western Conference playoffs because the East was so down. Today, the Milwaukee Bucks added Nikola Mirotic. This is the Bucks who are already 40-13. The Toronto Raptors added Marc Gasol. This is the Raptors who went to the who've been to the Eastern Conference Finals, couldn't get over LeBron, and last year they pulled off a trade where they upgraded. Right, DeMar DeRozan and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is a top five player in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan is not. That's an upgrade for Toronto. Granted, 1 year rental. That's an upgrade. The Boston Celtics, who have had the best record in the East in the East 2 years ago, last year for the second straight year, went to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the Philadelphia 76ers, who everybody thinks is super talented, they added Tobias Harris. So you think about it. Yes, the teams at the bottom of the East are tanking, much like they're tanking in the West, but there's more tanking teams in the East. Knicks, Cavs, Bulls, Hawks. Than there are in the West. There's the Suns. The Grizzlies appear to now decide, oh, now we'll tank midseason. And while there's better depth of good teams in the West, look, I think the Lakers are good. The Clippers appear to be playing for next year. They obviously don't want to make the playoffs. The Mavericks kind of same thing, right? Porzingis is not going to play this year. The fact is that those four teams in the East, they're better than the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Blazers, the Rockets, the Lakers. Like, the East is good. And four teams all being capable of winning the Eastern Conference, that's called depth. That doesn't happen often in either the East or the West. That's four, like, legit teams. And in a seven-game series, I would guess they'd be favored. You know, all four of those teams, or at least three of them, would be favored probably over everybody in the West not named the Golden State Warriors. Now, look, there's other reasons why East and West will never be torn down. You know, like, are you really going to make Celtic fans stay up till 10 o'clock just to watch a first-round series playing out in Portland? No. Are you going to really tear apart historic rivalries of Eastern Conference teams against Eastern Conference teams, Pacers, Knicks, Celtics, Knicks in the playoffs? Like, no, you're not doing that. The time zones are a problem. And oh yeah, by the way, all of this thing eventually levels out. It just does. Eventually, the East will become as good or better or deeper than the West is. How do I know this? Because that's how it used to be until there was a shift and it became all the teams from the West. That massive freakout that we had at the end of last season, maybe we should tear this down so that the best teams actually play the best teams. Like I told you then, and I'll tell you now, that's a mistake. And look at the teams now as they're comprised, not just the records, because the records aren't telling because they don't play even schedules, but and because there's more teams that are tanking in the East than were in the West. Look at the rosters of those teams. They're all legit.